Not all apartment investments are created equal. So real estate spans four very different strategies, right? You've got core, core plus, value add, and opportunistic, each with their own distinct risks and return rewards. But the problem is many investors don't really know which bucket they're actually buying in, right? And that leads to mismatched expectations on cash flow, renovation risk, and exit timing. So in today's episode, we're going to review in plain English definitions the four strategies, typical risk and return profiles, who they're best for, and why Ferris Capital Partners focuses exclusively on value add. So first, we'll sort of start with an overview of the four sort of ways that you can invest in apartment syndication investments, right? First being core. So core are sort of institutional quality, newer assets in A-plus location. They're typically already stabilized. So in other words, a developer's built that building, leased it up to a break-even occupancy and refinanced into traditional financing, and then sold. So generally, you're buying this deal stabilized with high occupancy and little to no renovations required. The business plan is effectively to clip the coupon, right? It's just all about that cash flow that comes in. It's preserving capital, modest rent growth, and minimal operational change. So a lot of large institutional investors like gobbling these up to put them in their profile to help balance the risk across maybe some of their more riskier investments that they're considering doing. So the typical profile is all about cash flow, steady, but a little bit lower. So it's not going to be like the slam dunk investment, right, where you might be targeting an 18 to 20% return. It's really more about that cash flow. Your target returns are usually in the lower single digit or high single digit IRR. Now, the leverage is typically very conservative, right? And the risk is the lowest. The main risk are really just rates and market repricing. So for example, maybe you buy a core asset in an area that has a lot of new supply coming online and people start giving concessions to lease up their units. And yes, yours is fully leased and occupied, but a resident looks down the street and goes, wow, I can go get 2 months free if I simply move a mile down the road, right? So there are risks here, but who it really fits are investors who are prioritizing wealth preservation and low volatility over upside. Now that takes us into Core Plus, which is very similar to Core, but with a little light operational or sort of cosmetic upside. So, you know, things like maybe potentially refreshing the amenities, putting in some new pool furniture, enhancing the gym, things of that nature. So very light touches, but just a little bit of that operational efficiency. The business plan basically boils down to improving operations and finishing to lift the NOI sort of modestly over time. Now, the typical profile is, once again, cash flow, very similar to core, but with a slightly higher than core because of those operational efficiencies and, say, amenity refreshes you'll do. The targeted returns are generally in the high single digit or low teens when in regards to IRR. Leverage will be a little bit more moderate and the risk is low to moderate. The execution risk, in a sense, is limited because you're not renovating, you know, a couple hundred units. You're really just doing some light upgrades and some finishing touches just to improve the operational efficiency. So who this fits is an income-focused investor seeking a small premium to core, but with limited renovation exposure. Now, renovations does have exposure, right? Because the cost of materials could be rising. You know, Trump's tariff war is, you know, obviously having an impact on pricing. So, you know, if you're investing in a core plus deal, even though that renovation risk may be lower, it's still there. So it's good to look at the budget and make sure that they're planning for, you know, maybe an increase in materials cost or something like that, that could impact the returns. Now, C is value add. And once again, that's where Ferris Capital Partners played. So what it really is a solid, well-located asset with clear operational and physical upside. So that could be unit renovation, exterior and amenities refresh, and management overhaul. And what we found is typically all three of those things are required. Now, operations may be running smooth, but there's always an opportunity to improve. But generally, when we take down a building, we are refreshing the amenities, redoing the leasing center, renovating units, as well as working on the operations themselves. So trying to lower our costs, right, through efficiency and, you know, leveraging maybe team members across multiple assets to drive down our payroll, things like that. Now, the typical profile on a value add is cash flow from day one. Now, sometimes that cash flow doesn't kick in for a few months, not because the property's not cash flowing, but the distributions generally start a few months in because the owner needs to, new owner needs to come in there, start the work, get everything kind of tightened up and cleaned up, get all the financials moving, and you know, get all the accounts set up, everything documented in the right place. And so at Ferris Capital Partners, when we do our first distribution, it's actually a catch up back to day one. So you get made whole, but the cash flow could be delayed a few months depending on the structure of the deal itself. And then the forced appreciation that occurs through those unit upgrades help create a better upside when you exit the deal. So the targeted returns could be in the low to mid teens IRR. In fact, we generally target at minimum a 15% IRR. So a lot of our deals are actually projecting 16, 16 and a half IRR, which effectively translates, depending on the deal, right? It's not a uniform thing, but generally speaking, we're projecting about a 20% annual return. So the risk is there. It's a little bit more moderate because we have this construction and lease up risk. Now, there are some operators who will lease down a number of units and renovate quickly. Our program is to renovate when we have renewals that do not accept our renewal. And so we have a vacancy that occurs organically. Now, there's also a little bit of looking at the rent roll. And say, for example, we inherit a resident from the prior owner that has a number of lease violations and is disruptive to other residents. Because we operate in landlord-friendly states, we can invite that resident to leave, and that creates a vacancy for a renovation. But our goal is to do like 3 to 4, 4 to 5 a month while maintaining a clear and steady occupancy so that cash flow remains strong. So in other words, Ferris Capital Partners, we do not lease down. We organically renovate as vacancies occur due to, you know, change of lifestyle, you know, maybe somebody upgrades, moves to a larger unit or a smaller unit, or whatever the circumstances may be. Now, the reason we can mitigate some of this risk is because we buy stabilized assets that are already cash flowing, that have comps in the area that support the rental rates we'll be looking to get after our renovation. So not all value add deals are created equal. You have to make sure you're checking those rent comps and ensuring that the property's already steady and stable and cash flowing on day one, and make sure your plan and your budget and your kind of sort of like capital deployment plan, your business plan, is set up to ensure that stabilized occupancy as well as that cash flow continuing. So who does this fit? Really investors seeking a balance of income and upside that are a little more comfortable with some measured execution risk. Now, the fourth one is opportunistic. So this is like ground up development. It could be a heavy repositioning, sort of like a hotel to multifamily conversion, or maybe perhaps an old warehouse that's converted into loft-style apartments. It could be a property in deep distress, you know, say, for example, a property that is at 40% occupancy. Maybe there's been a fire and a building needs to be rebuilt. Those things like that could happen. So it usually requires like a complex capital structure, right? So in terms of the business plan, it's create value from scratch, really. So has the biggest potential pop, but also the longest path. And we'll get to this, but the highest amount of risk. So typical profile is not somebody looking for cash flow. Generally speaking, in an opportunistic deal, you're not going to get any cash flow for like 18 to 36 months, potentially longer, especially if it's new development and you're maybe in an area where there's a lot of regulations and red tape to cut through to build a new building. Even repositioning an asset, right? You're dealing with zoning, things of that nature. So cash flow is not top of mind for an investor in an opportunistic deal. Now, the targeted returns could be as high as the mid-teens to 20+% in terms of IRR. But once again, you are taking on more risk and you're sort of accepting like less cash flow on a monthly basis, right? In other words, you really shouldn't count on it. A lot of times with opportunistic deals, as soon as the property's leased up, then the exit occurs or certainly a refinance. So it's really about the upside, not about the cash flow. Leverage is going to be higher. You're going to pay a higher interest rate because likely you'll have some sort of construction financing or bridge financing that does tend to come with a higher interest rate. And so the risk is highest in an opportunistic deal. You've got entitlement, zoning, costs, timelines, and then of course, market timing risk, because who knows what's going to happen in 3 or 4 years when that building is actually delivered. And is that time going to be opportune to lease up, right? Maybe there's a lot of new development coming online or something happening in the local economy, perhaps a major employer leaves or something like that. So these investments tend to fit investors that are seeking sort of like outsized upside and they're comfortable with illiquidity and of course that development and reposition risk. So, you know, let's look at how they differ, right, at the end of the day. So where returns come from in each deal. So in Core and Core Plus, it's all about market rent growth, minor efficiency increases. So that's where your returns come from. In value add, it's rent lift through renovations and operational discipline, which I mentioned earlier, but that's forced appreciation. So the property value will likely increase just on basic appreciation due to things like inflation and the value of the land and the value of the building. But through driving efficiency and rental increases through renovations, we're increasing the NOI, which is forcing that appreciation. And then opportunistic, it's basically a new supply repositioning. So you're coming in and you're building something new, right? Or you're taking an asset that was used in another way and turning it in. So you're creating new supply. And so that repositioning, once again, there's some opportunity there, but you are taking on a lot more risk. And so what are these risks, right? So in a core plus deal, perhaps we have some cap rate expansion due to some economic factors. And so, you know, at exit, you may not get the returns you were thinking. So the cash flow has been nice, but, you know, if cap rates increase, you know, you may lose any upside that could potentially have been there just based on natural appreciation. Now with value add, it's all about renovation risk, right? The execution component. Can we achieve our business plan? Can we renovate these units as we budgeted them and deliver them in a timely fashion to reduce downtime and loss of income due to that downtime on that unit? So, you know, the risk is really also in lease trade out, right? So, you know, we got to really study those comps, study the new supply coming online, and make sure we're buying in an area that will have, sort of a good supply demand balance. So, one thing we also think about is if we build these rents, will they, you know, are they, you know, renovate these units, will the residents come? So, is what we're wanting to do with the renovation applicable and sort of desirable in that market? So it's a lot of focused effort on the front end and our due diligence to ensure not only is it the right asset, but is it the right location and do the right demographics live in that location to support what we're wanting to do? And then with opportunistic, the risks really come in just, you know, cost overruns, you know, maybe your budget. You know, perhaps you buy a building and you start, you know, pulling down some of the drywall and realize there's major mold issues or something like that. Or, you know, God forbid, some material that's problematic like asbestos or something like that. So on the front end, on an opportunistic, it's critical that your due diligence is exceptional. And you peek behind every curtain, you peel up the carpet, you look behind the walls if possible, you do mold and radon studies. And, you know, so it's a lot of front end risk if you don't do those things correctly and buy that building and learn that your budget is under by $2 or $3 million, your returns may have evaporated, right? And then just once again, cycle timing, you know, when this building is delivered, will the timing be right in the marketplace? Or is everybody looking at the same data and making the same decision? In other words, hey, there's low supply here. And next thing you know, multiple developers come in and a lot of units hit the market at the same time. And it's frankly what we're seeing today, really more so last year, but this huge wave of new development that started post-pandemic. And all these units being delivered at the same time. So there are some markets that are way oversupplied and it'll take a little while for them to dig themselves out of that hole. Now, what is the time to result? So with the core plus, it's like immediate, right? You know, you're buying a stabilized asset that's performing well. So that cash flow comes in immediately. Value add, it's going to be visible, but you typically within quarters, right? So after our first quarter owning the deal, we'll have renovated units, we'll be getting the lease trade out, and we can report on that. So investors can see that things are working well, and we'll keep refining and you know, working on our business plan and moving down the path with the goal of renovating all the units we plan to renovate in about a 2-year, maybe 3-year cycle, stabilize it, work on those lease trade outs, and then exit ideally somewhere between year 3 and 5. And with opportunistic, I'll just say it, the outcome is a little bit unknown until repositioning of the asset and exit. So it's a bit of a guessing game. So once again, opportunistic is going to be for investors that are willing to take a bit of a high flyer, accept a lot more risk, but aiming for much higher returns. So just goes back to Ferris Capital Partners. Why do we focus on value add? It's that balance, risk and reward, you know, better upside, but more manageable, right? We can control our ability to execute our business plan. We can control that market we buy in. We control the asset that we're buying in. And once again, because these deals are already cash flowing on day one, we know that it's working. It's just, can we come in and refine and improve and drive that forced appreciation, right? So value add, you know, cash flow on day one. So very similar to core and core plus, renovations enhance, and we're not creating any new inventory. We're just enhancing inventory that already exists. We do tend to have more control over the outcome because, once again, we're forcing that appreciation through CapEx, renovations, and operational efficiencies. We're not waiting on the market. We do a resident-first approach where in the first 28 days, we tackle all of the exterior amenities upgrades and building refresh. So things like new lighting, leasing walk path, refreshing the amenities. So that could look like new pool furniture, building new grilling stations and game stations, dog parks, playgrounds, things that are easy to execute on but add value to the residents and make the community a better place. And that will help accelerate leasing and renewals and show that the residents that are currently there that, you know, this new owner isn't just coming in and jacking up your rents. We're coming in improving the quality of living and the quality of the asset, which makes them more happy and more likely to accept those renewals. Now, we also build in some downside protections, right? So fixed rate debt, no floating rate debt. We keep principal and interest in reserves at all times. So, you know, typically about 6 months. So we can basically plan on that rainy day should it come. And then we look at our contingency budget that's already conservative and netted up by 10%. Just so if there is some major change in, you know, cost or there's a supply challenge because of tariffs or something like that, we can still keep moving down the path with our renovations. And, you know, in terms of why we love it, the last kind of final component is we feel it's the most balanced risk and reward return for our investors, right? So, you know, we're going to target some good returns, but we're going to do it in a way where we have more control and we're not hoping the market is in a good place in 3 to 5 years. So, you know, if you're an investor listening to this, like, you know, just a quick like fit check, right? You know, core, ultra conservative, you know, typically a lot of family offices are investing in these deals. It's almost in a sense like a bond replacement, you know, so you might invest in some bonds, but you say, you know, I just want to place some of my money into a hard asset that will be conservative, have, you know, kind of lower returns, but consistent returns that I can count on. So it's a way to diversify sort of out of the bond market. Maybe you keep a lot of in your bonds, right? But moving some over here to core, core plus, just for that consistent cash flow. Core plus, very similar, right? Income with light upside. So these are typically going to be retirees or maybe endowment seeking stability. Value add, we typically see professionals, entrepreneurs and other high net worth investors that are wanting income now, as well as equity growth over 4 to 6 years. And then opportunistic, it's really going to be for super experienced investors that can accept a long back-ended payoff, right? And they're willing to take on that risk that, candidly, they may lose that investment, right? And so it's a bit of a home run. You're swinging for the fences a little bit on those, right? And so I think our view is like, you know, there's the great book Moneyball. And of course, the movie was fantastic as well. But you can get very far in life if you just hit a lot of singles, right? And so it's not to say value add or singles. They're great properties that get you on home base. But it's going to be done in a more methodical way versus, once again, swinging for the fences every time and potentially falling short, right? So some key insights, right? Different strategies drive expectations for cash flow timing and risk. So you really need to kind of sit down and kind of almost have a conversation with yourself or your spouse and decide what is the right approach here and how much risk are you willing to take on. Recognizing that value add creates forced appreciation by upgrading units and operations, not just by hoping the market will improve. And with disciplined debt, reserves, and a resident first execution can turn value add into durable net operating income. And of course, most importantly, equity growth. So thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and like and share with other high net worth investors that you think will benefit from it. We love and believe in you guys. Keep dreaming and investing big.